Welcome to the Sciences Po Energy Podcast. I am your host, Olivia Vallada, and today we're focusing on a very timely topic, namely the environmental impact of the upcoming 2024 Paris Olympic Games. So as the city is preparing itself, millions of people will descend to Paris in July to celebrate athletic excellencies. There's one crucial question that emerges, and that is, how will Paris manage to maintain the emission reductions and achieving carbon neutrality in the midst of all of this? So, we're fortunate to have Professor Michel Nussan to join us here today. Professor Nussan is an expert on sustainable transport at Sciences Po and Politecnico di Torino. He holds a PhD in energy engineering and has extensive experience as an energy consultant. So we're going to debate this topic and explore it a bit more, and specifically focus on how the transportation sector will be impacted by the Paris Olympic Games, and also explore some mitigation measures. So welcome, Professor Nussan.
Hello, thanks for the invitation.
Yes, very, very happy to have you here. So, as you probably know, Paris is aiming very high for the 2024 Olympic Games, aiming to be one of the most sustainable games ever. And if we compare with the previous ones, the most recent ones in Tokyo, which was 2020, and then Rio in 2016, and in London 2012, they emitted on average about 3.5 million tons of CO2. But Paris, however, aims to halve that emission and only emit around 1.5 tons of CO2. So my first reaction of just reading this is that it's quite an ambitious target, especially since the Tokyo Olympic Games did not have any spectators. And now thinking of that, we begin first there before going into their strategies and how they will achieve this. Is this a target you think that is achievable? Will Paris, the Olympic Games, only manage to emit 1.5 billion tons of CO2?
So, I agree with you in general. I had the very same reaction when I read it for the first time. Actually, going a little bit deeper on numbers, a very important part of those emissions are related to the impact of new infrastructure that are being built. And so Paris is actually aiming at exploiting 95% of existing infrastructure. So I think that's the main reasons that allows to reduce the total emissions associated to the games. And also there is a trick in the fact that the methodology to consider those emissions is somewhat not accounting the fact that new infrastructure could also be used for other events. And so for that reason, some scholars are pointing out the fact that they are actually overestimating a little bit the role of this specific part. But yeah, in general, the other point that I think it's important to remember is that you're right that Tokyo Olympic Games did not have actual people due to the COVID reasons. But actually, if you look at those emissions, are in fact quite lower compared to Rio and London. So the average value is more similar to London and Rio, I would say, the 3.5 million you were mentioning. And so for that reason, considering the fact that Paris is aiming to exploit existing infrastructure and also decrease transport distances, keeping the events in a limited space, I think this ambition could be somewhat approached. We will see if they manage to meet it perfectly, but I think it's feasible at least, let's say that.
Okay, interesting. So it's feasible due to the current infrastructure that they have and that they will exploit, but also due to their goals of using or introduce more sustainable transport, and I'm guessing the use of sustainable energy sources. Is that then precisely due to those measures that will be feasible, excluding them that there's going to be a lot of spectators at the same time?
Yeah, that's precisely that. There is a combination of measures, as you mentioned, also the idea of pushing towards active mobility and public transport especially, so trying to limit the effect of private vehicles and we will maybe discuss a little bit more later. And also the idea of exploiting an important share of low carbon emissions. France, as you know, has a very low electricity emission factor due to nuclear and renewables. So that also may help compared to other regions in the world and other cities that have previously exploited, organized Olympic Games. And also the idea of the fact that the new venues will still be built with the best standards compared to the past. And also the fact that they actually also proposed to limit air conditioning in some venues, and that had some problems. I mean, someone complained about that. We will see with the possible heat waves that we are facing in the last years if this specific aspect will be critical or not.
So going into precisely the transportation sector, given the significant health impact of Paris transportation sector, which has, well, affected their air quality, which is not the best, you could say, do you think that their measures being implemented will manage to not only make the Paris Olympic Games more sustainable, but overall their transportation sector? And will these measures somehow contribute to the city's overall air quality goals?
Okay, so I think we should say a thing before. I think we should be quite clear on the fact that the Olympic Games are a massive event with millions of people attending. So I think it's important to understand that in every single city in the world, organizing such an event would be a massive issues in terms of transport infrastructure. Because of course, the transportation infrastructure is projected and operated with some specific standards, depending on how many people you could transport every single day. And of course, if you add a million people more or less to that standard, I mean, it's really hard to deliver the performance that you are imagining. And specifically considering air quality, of course, you can maximize as much as possible public transport, and they will do that. But I think in general, the performance of the infrastructure will be critical in any case compared to the standard value. So I assume that at least for those 2 or 3 weeks of the event, I'm not so confident that the sustainability level may improve. The point, of course, is to try to deliver new infrastructure and new solutions that can last, and so also to push for new travel behaviors that can, on the long and medium term, help to improve the quality and how people see and use their transport modes every single day. In that way, specifically, I think it's important to leverage on the potential communication that you can have during the Olympics. So the fact that you can put the attention on sustainable transport modes. But at the same time, this is quite risky, of course, because you are pushing towards public transport and in a very critical situation, because a lot of people will be using it. Of course, they will add additional vehicles, additional solution. They also had some problems of who should pay for that. A few years ago, they were claiming that public transport would have been free for everybody during the Olympics. Now the fare seems to be 2 times the actual fare that we have today in Paris. The claim is that is to avoid Parisians to pay for that. So people living in Paris could buy tickets before and then at the price that we have today. And so the idea is that actual tourists will pay for these additional expenses. But in general, I think the very critical point is the experience that you have. Of course, if you want to go towards public transport, you need to have a better experience compared to private cars. That's the very point of pushing for that. So there is a potential backlash that should be avoided, in my personal opinion. And so the fact that a negative experience on public transport may have a negative impact in the future. So I think that's the single most critical point that should be avoided during the transport management in the Olympic Games.
Do you think, because I've also been reading about some of these criticisms that, for example, they're trying to limit certain traffic and promote more biking and walking, and if you shut down certain roads in Paris, is that feasible, first of all, since there's going to be such an influx of people? And is that also, I mean, how should I phrase myself, going to function when you actually need these distances, or need, you said, additional cars or additional transportation measures are needed at the same time as you're shutting down certain roads. Do you see the contradiction in that, or do you see that it could work?
I mean, it's a very hard question. I would not bet on that. We will see. I mean, they will do the best that they can, but of course that will be quite an important test, because of course Paris is already quite crowded in general. During the summer, there are already tourists a lot, so Olympic Games will add to that complexity. Of course, people living in Paris may go away for the Olympic Games for a number of reasons, so that may help. And also there is already a lot of communication. We may touch on that later, I don't know, with the further questions. But yeah, there is also a communication plan to help citizens understand what transport to avoid in which hour of the day. So that I think they're doing a good job on the communication. But of course, it will be hard. And just like every Olympic Games, I mean, nothing new. In every massive events like that, it's normal that you have some disruptions, and it's hard to make it work as good as normal.
Yes, it is a bit of a challenge. And then the following question is the population in Paris on board with these measures? I've also been reading some Parisians are not very happy with the shutdown of certain traffic routes. Or do you think that the overall Parisians do want to are on board on these changes and see it as something progressive for making the city more sustainable?
From my experience, also in the past, there is quite a polarization on this subject. So there are people that love a lot the possibility of having such an important event in their city, while other people don't really see the advantage of that. They look mostly at the costs and the impacts. And so I think it's hard to have a single answer here. So the communication, again, I think it's quite important. It's important to have a transparent discussion on those topics and also on the different dimensions that we are comparing, because now we speak about emissions and sustainability, but there is also a strong social dimension on those events, and also the economic costs and also potential benefits. Especially considering the public and private parts, it's an additional point of discussion. And it's often quite the crucial point in the choice of organizing such an event. Of course, you have a massive cost from the public and usually some benefits for privates. And so, I mean, it's not always easy to have the same view on that. So different people may have different opinions on those potential advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah. And not only is it about opinions, but also if they will manage to be implemented or the feasibility. So I was looking at some of these measures, such as the urban forest that they're planning to implement or doing, mm-hmm. which is planting 478 trees near a large traffic roundabout near the Gare de Montparnasse, and the 15-minute city, which is the idea that people are supposed to be no more than 50 minutes walk away or bike ride from for their necessary needs to live, to learn, to thrive, and stuff like that, which is in measures in conjunction with the Paris Olympic Games, where we've spoken about before, but they seem to not be not going to be ready for the Paris Olympic Games. So the question is, will some of these measures, are they overhyped? Will they actually be implemented, or will Paris manage to have a more sustainable Olympic Games, or is this just more of a, not greenwashing, but more of a talk?
Yeah, that's a good question. My personal opinion is that we stay a little in between these two boundaries. A specific fact that should not be forgot is the fact that still the proposal of the Olympic Games in Paris happened before the COVID pandemic. And so, of course, a massive delay was due to that specific event that was, of course, impossible to forecast. And so for that reason, I think that especially for the massive infrastructure investment that should have been done of the different subway and train rails that are actually not really on track with what was planned before, is mostly related to that. So I'm confident that they will happen. I mean, Olympics in general are a good trigger of those additional infrastructure investment. Often, as you said, they do not happen in time with the Olympic event. But I think that's not so important at the end. The important point is that you can trigger those interventions and then actually reach them. Of course, there is the risk of just forgetting them since the event is not any more relevant. But I think in a city like Paris that already invested in this direction and already pushed for some solution, especially in the 15-minute city, well before the Olympic Games, I think there is still the opportunity of going forward in that direction, both on the urban forest, as you said, but also on the bike lanes and transport infrastructure. But still, there is room for improvement. And so I think that, I mean, Paris should look forward to further increase their good performance on those metrics.
That's interesting what you mentioned. Do you think that the Paris get many of these measures being implemented for the Paris Olympic Games? Do you think that thanks to it being happening in Paris, that a lot of these measures are taking place more rapidly, or that they're taking sustainability even more seriously to show it to the world? Or is this something that they've been working on before?
I don't know. Paris is already quite famous around the world for some sustainability measures. The 15-minute cities that we already mentioned is somewhat generally associated with Paris, also if it is not the only city and not the first that went in that direction. Also, I think there are many positive effects related to active mobility and cycling specifically, maybe not at the level of Amsterdam or Copenhagen, but the scale of the city is different. So I think Paris is a good example, well before the Olympic Games. The Olympic Games are a potential event that could help push further these ideas and these good practices. I'm a little bit scared about the potential backfire that we already discussed due to the fact that the event will be massive in a city where already there is a high level of people living and moving every single day. So it will be very hard and complex to manage the event itself. So I think in general, my personal view at least, is that this event may somewhat improve the view on Paris, but not that much as other measures that will need to last. And a single specific point on that, that I think we still need to be addressed somewhat, is the accessibility of the subway infrastructure, which I think remain the single most critical point in the quality of the service, which is faring a lot good in a number of metrics. But yeah, you know that the accessibility, especially on the historical subway station, remains a problem compared to other large cities around the world, especially London, for instance. It remains a big problem. And also they aimed somewhat to improve it. But so far, I don't think they really will manage to ensure an accessible subway for the Olympics.
Yes, so accessibility still scores a bit lower than in the overall strategies, maybe. But as you were mentioning, it's going to be quite hot in July, and they are, as you were saying, maybe trying to limit the use of air condition. But then when it comes to energy, do you think that they will manage also to achieve their goal of, I think it's using 95 to 100% of renewable energy for the whole of the Olympic Games?
You know, the point in France, as we said, already electricity on average has a very, very low emission factor thanks to nuclear. And it's not a secret. I mean, we know it. We push for renewables. That depends, of course, how you count it. Because, yeah, you can buy renewable certificates. I mean, it's easy. You just pay for that. And so you can claim every single kilowatt hour that you consume is renewable. In the reality, that will not be the case, of course, because you cannot guarantee in a grid every single time that everything is from renewable, unless you are in some countries like Norway, where you have a lot of hydro and you have shares of renewable nearby 98%. But in France, at least, I would say that, yeah, you can be confident that most of electricity will be low carbon, if not renewable. And so on that specific measure, I think that's the easiest to reach compared to the others. The point is, of course, if you can electrify some specific segments of transportation, for instance, that will be the sector hardest to decarbonize, as it is in every single application that we see in the decarbonization strategies of cities and countries.
Okay, so when it comes to energy, more of a positive expectation, because some other criticisms were that they would potentially buy a lot of carbon credits in order to then equal out and say, yeah, we've planted trees somewhere else and that's why it's more carbon neutral. But it seems as you were saying, the nuclear part is a big importance in Paris, and that's why renewable energy may be achievable. Another question, which is, do you think then, we kind of touched upon it before, these initiatives will benefit Paris in the long run? Will the changes that they're trying to make to the city, especially with the public transportation sector, improving overall air quality, be lasting? Or as you were saying, will it easily be able to go back to how it was before?
Yeah, that's a good question. The good point is that Paris already, I think, it's on a good track in itself, also without the Olympic Games. I think in the Olympic Games, the key point will be if the transport system can deliver and can sustain us at least not too critical experience for the users. Then, of course, it's a massive event, it's a complex event, and also people that are used to go to those events, they know the situation. I mean, every single time you go to see a football match or a sport event, if you have a massive number of people that need to move, you expect that it will be hard and not so convenient compared to your everyday mobility. So in the framework of a complex and exceptional event, I think that if the public transport system can deliver the solution that they proposed, or at least they claimed, this can have positive effects that are more broadly reflected. The most significant impact, I think, would be thanks to the fact that some infrastructure has been built specifically for the Olympic Games. I think about the Line 14 of the metro, for instance, and some rail infrastructure that may not be ready in time, but may be completed after the Games. So I think those interventions will be the ones that have most chance to succeed in delivering sustainable transport after the Olympic Games.
Okay, so infrastructural challenges and also then accessibility challenges in order to have a more positively longer impact on public transportation in Paris. And the accessibility, I'm guessing, would be an even harder challenge to change, as it needs massive upfront money in order to build new accessible manners to use the public transport or the metros, as you were saying, right?
Yeah, I think the accessibility will be the most significant challenge, because of course for the Olympic Games you can put additional services on road buses that are suitable for people that cannot access subway. But then, of course, you cannot do that every single time during normal operation, because, of course, the subway is much faster than the other modes. And so, of course, you need to push for those solutions also for people that cannot access using stairs, for instance. I mean, it's not only about disabled people that are, of course, an important part of the population, but the fact that you do not have elevators, it's also preventing a lot of people to bring some sort of, you are blocking families in some cases, you are blocking people that need to travel with luggage. I mean, there are a group of people that may use the metro instead of private vehicles that do not just for this issue of accessibility. So I think that's a broader issue that is not really being addressed. And it's maybe the single very critical point in Paris compared to other large cities, as long as public transport is considered.
Okay. But in general, you see their model, their strategies that are in place, certain measures are already being taken as something positive, as something that will be more achievable. And will you be here during the Paris Olympic Games?
No, I don't think so. Just because of the crowd and the complexity. And I mean, in general, the fact that I don't think it's a good way of seeing the seat itself. Of course, you go there for the sport event. But yeah, in July now, I don't think it will be so comfortable in general. And I'm not so passionate about looking at sports to go through that. And also final point in general, also mentioning the question, the last question, we should also consider the financial points as well. So how much that transport system will cost for the people, actually. Paris, it's already costing less compared to other large cities during normal times. So, okay, we do not consider now the Olympic price because that's an exception. The real point will be if the public transport system can deliver a sustainable way of traveling for most of the population. All the population will be better, of course. And so the idea is that to push for those alternative use compared to private car, you should provide a reliable and affordable system for everybody, which is quite hard in many cases for a number of reasons. Also, especially after the pandemic, due to a number of crises like the lack of drivers, in some cases, it's a very important problem that also has an impact on the service of public transport. I think it happens also in Paris, but in many cities worldwide, this problem is a big one because, of course, you need to invest a lot in drivers, basically. And if you do not have drivers, you need to teach them how to drive, specifically due to the regulation of the different countries and cities. And so it's not a quick fix. I mean, you need to invest in different directions. You need to invest in teaching, in hiring, and also in the vehicles infrastructure and so on. So yeah, it's not a quick fix. These are choices that need time to be implemented. And of course, they can find a temporary solution for the Olympic Games, as they're doing. The point is if they can deliver on the medium and long term, I think.
Precisely. And is that something, the financial measures of the Paris city, do they have that to support such projects? Or is that also a challenge in itself to find the finance to invest back both in infrastructure and the training and all of those aspects you were mentioning?
I think that's a broad challenge that we are facing in all around the world, especially in Europe and also in the US at some degree. It's also related to the macroeconomic conditions, the inflation and the situation that we are facing. So I think it's a broader problem compared to public transport. But of course, public transport is affected. And after the pandemic, also the decreasing level of people using it have somewhat affected the financial situation in the short term. But then, of course, now to fix it, you need to invest even more compared to before. And so, yeah, I think there will be problems. But of course, it's just a matter of choice. I mean, if you want to use some public fund in that direction, you should, of course, avoid using the same fund in other sectors. So I think it's a political choice. And unfortunately, public transport is not always the first sector in which you are going to invest. And so, yeah, it really depends on the politics, I would say, and also how people respond to those solutions. In Paris and other large European cities, it's already quite good. But if we want to reach the decarbonization levels that we are facing in the different governmental and municipal strategies, I think that electrifying cars will be not enough. We need to push a lot for public transport. And so we need to fare much better than today levels, which include a number of strategies and actions, not only public transport itself, but also in how to limit the use of private car, but also how to improve how many people are using each single car. Because the car itself, if it's used by 5 people, it's not so worse than a bus. The problem is that our cars today are going around with 1.2, 1.4 person on them on average, which is the very problem of the cars. If you could already double that level, you would have half the cars around. And also in terms of traffic and congestion and emissions, that will improve a lot. But yeah, you need measures. You need people that make choices. And maybe, yeah, sometime also sacrifice some level of comfortability to go for a better and most efficient transport system for everybody.
Yeah, so we need better knowledge and better understanding of the importance of the public transportation sector in cities, and greater political will to transform it then as well.
Yeah, and also discussing a lot on those subjects. And I think also in this case, Olympic Games or in general events that can put this subject in the public discussion are useful, because people should understand what are the points at stake, what are the impacts, the environmental, social impacts of those measures. Also because, yeah, the first point is communicate. If people don't know the impact of their choices, it's also hard for them to evaluate the best choice that they have.
Yeah, I agree very much. So the last question then is just, do you think that this model or these strategies that Paris have put in place for Olympic Games could be transferred for future Olympic Games, or is it very much tailored to Paris in itself due to its existing infrastructures?
Again, I would say that reality stays in between those two levels, but just because I think the main point here that has already been discussed in the previous version of the Olympic Games is the possibility of exploiting existing infrastructure. This is especially a problem for winter games in some cases, where you have a ski jump or bobsleigh infrastructure that is built and then never used again. And this is a big problem, maybe not in terms of emissions, but in terms of local impact on the environment and the forests and mountains, etc. The same applies for the Summer Games. If you can exploit existing infrastructure that is already in operation, you do not add additional emissions. And so you somewhat are able to limit the impact. And that's mainly what Paris is aiming to. The problem, of course, is how you distribute those events around the world. And specifically, I mean, some scholars have proposed to hold the Olympics in the very same spots every 4 years, or potentially divide the sports across country. So every country will host the same sport so that they already have the venues. And of course, you lose a little bit the tradition. And also you are losing the potential benefits in terms of, I would say, not the environmental ones, but the benefits related to the culture that you're proposing, the resonance of those events, the marketing also that each city could use to improve the quality of life in the city. So, of course, it's not an easy answer. Because, yeah, you could argue that we do the Olympics every time in the same cities, but that would mean doing it always in Europe, the US, or maybe Asia. Already, Africa is mostly excluded from those events, with some few exceptions, like the Football World Cup a few years ago. But in general, the Olympic Games are mostly in Europe, the US, and in Asia recently. So that's also a question of equity and fairness of how these events are distributed around the world. And also in this case, I see a lot of polarization. If we want to go for emissions and sustainability, of course, there is a solution. But there are other perspectives that need to be taken into account when doing those choices, I think.
Yeah. Many, many tricky questions, it seems, hard to be answered, and many trade-offs as well. But I guess that is a discussion for another episode then. But thank you very much, Moussan, for sharing your insights and giving us a better understanding of how the public transportation sector will be affected during the Olympic Games. And I guess we shall see how these measures that have been taken, if they will be achieved, and how the Olympic Games will be. Neither you nor I will be there, but it's up for the rest to see.
Thank you again. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Sciences Po Energy Podcast, recorded and produced here in Paris by me, Olivia Vallada, with the help of Yong Sonon. If you like the podcast, then feel free to leave a rating on Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening. Otherwise, I'll see you next time.